This is the St. Francis in the Desert, Giovanni Bellini, 1480 in the Frick Collection in New York City, oil and tempera on poplar. Provenance, first of all, it was purchased in 1915 by Henry Clay Frick, a steel magnate of the late 19th century. Say a little bit about the importance of steel then. The work now hangs in the public gallery on Fifth Avenue in Frick's former living room. Subject is that St. Francis is alone in a stony wilderness, in a hermitage, effectively, or alpine retreat. In 1224, from his retreat on Mount Laverna, not far from Assisi, in the Apennines, this is central Italy, in the Umbria region, St. Francis received the stigmata. This can be and is paralleled with Moses' communion with God on Mount Horeb. St. Francis received in his hands, feet and side the sacred wounds from our Lord's own body, and never was a saint more beautifully loved by Jesus than St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis wears a monk's habit and a cowl, a hood, and he also has the knots of his monastic orders. He died in 1226, 2 years after receiving the vision of the seraph. He is depicted here as an alter Christus, in other words, another Christ, hence the stigmata. And St. Francis has an open pose with palms facing outwards as per the martyr. Thus, he is in the guise of the man of sorrows, yet the title to the work suggests he is in ecstasy. Is he depicted at the moment he received the stigmata? The animals are on high alert in that the donkey's ears are pricked up and the heron is erect. Something is afoot. Is he singing? His mouth is open. Some say he is simply taking in the breath of life. He could be singing the Canticle of the Sun, also known as Laudes Creatoratum. This is praise of the creatures and Canticle of the Creatures, therefore. It's a religious song composed by St. Francis of Assisi himself. The barren and rocky terrain is connected to his self-selected exile in seclusion in order to live an ascetic lifestyle as a mendicant, one who relied solely on alms. Franciscans often associated their founder with Moses and Elias, or Elijah, and their life in the desert. The urban vista in the distance is the heavenly Jerusalem. It's approximately 4 foot tall, and the scene is, to a large extent, a landscape painting as much as a religious narrative work. It is possible the work celebrates the four elements in a similar way to Giorgione's Tempest later, in the earth, water through the spout, the trickle, fire suggested by the burning bush, and the air, the bird. This chimes with the Canticle of the Creatures as well. The meaning, then, the bell and the cord are present as if to record the canonical hours, a mark of his piety and devotional commitment. The rope's three knots on his attire symbolise the virtues of obedience, chastity and poverty. The scrap of paper blows in the wind in the front against plants and contains the artist's signature in Latin, as per a humanist script. This is a cartolino or small paper script and a Bellinian leitmotif. The piece is, as a whole, imbued with transcendental imagery with rays of light emanating from the cross in particular. A secular image, yet pantheistic in conception. There is no seraphic cross and only a beam of light emanating from the top left. This therefore marks a departure from more traditional established depictions of the same subject, given Bellini encourages a more worldly, even secular reading. The cave suggests a monastic cell or carrel, replete with an arbor, a reading desk. It also relates to St. Jerome, who lived in a cave or cell in monastic self-selected exile or seclusion. The lectern for sermons is apparent here, connecting it therefore to the Sermon on the Mount, or more broadly, didactic preaching. To the right of the lectern is a cross with a crown of thorns hung over the top portion of the slender yet tall wooden construction. His walking stick or cane could be seen alongside his abandoned pattens. This could also link us to Moses, who used the staff or wand effectively to produce water and control the burning bush and so forth. St. Francis is intentionally proportionally diminutive in the face of nature, almost minor, insignificant in comparison to God's work, so maybe an early investigation into the sublime. His habit is rendered by means of columnar vertical folds as per fluting on an architectural column or pillar. This is said to symbolise his role as pillar of the church. Note the little note tucked into the belt of Francis, a cartolino again. There's a distant shepherd tending to his flock in the background, just as Francis tends to his ministry. Despite the stigmatisation, agrestic life trundles on. St. Francis's aquiline features are based on Donatello's bronze statue of St. Francis in Padua. Then some hermeneutics, the espaliered limbs of the wooden structure in part linked to the cross. The palisade construction is redolent of the horse's conclusus in relation to the Virgin's chastity, and we note the parallelism there. Small water jug is a reference to Elias or Elijah, and the water trickling from a spout in the stones on the left foreground is compared to the miraculous fountain Moses brought forth from the rocks at Horeb. The spring of water symbolises Moses and the great spring, therefore. The empty pattens or sandals behind the barefooted saint recall God's command to Moses to put off the shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. The skull is a memento mori, therefore suggesting transience vanitas. It represents the skull at Golgotha at Calvary. Thus is the cave the tomb. Time of day, possibly dawn, redolent of a new dawn, a renaissance or an epiphany, allegorically. The right side of the painting is said to represent the death of Christ on Good Friday. The left side evokes Christ rising from the dead at Easter. Flora and fauna then. With flora first, there is the suggestion of a Eucharistic vine in the fertile grapevine St. Francis has cultivated above the cell or cave. The laurel tree, upper left, is redolent of the cross and also the burning bush of Moses' vision at Horeb. The laurel also represents eternity. Laurel is associated with poetry too, and St. Francis created his own poetic verse in isolation when reflecting on God's creation. So it's possible he is in recitation mode here, with his mouth open addressing God and his creation. The juniper shrub signifies chastity, eternity, and the passion of Christ. The verbascum plant is featured, tall, yellow. We're not entirely sure of its symbolism here yet. The cultivated plants near his work and living space are typically grown in a monastic environment, specifically a Carmel, located within an inner cloister courtyard in a monastery. The plants in the carefully tended monastic garden are healing plants, such as mullein and juniper. And the alternative name for mullein is Aaron's rod, whose staff was said to have flowered as per this tall, thin plant with the flowering at the top. And Aaron in the Bible is the brother of Moses, of course, relevant here. Avifauna. Bellini enjoyed rendering detailed avifauna, as is evident here. This chimes with the Renaissance interest in a new naturalism and topographical realism. The grey heron is a symbol of vigilance, like the stork. The heron symbolises penitence because of its ash-coloured or cinerous plumage, redolent of cremation, and thus martyrdom. In folklore, the heron is a symbol of contemplation, vigilance, divine wisdom, and inner quietude. And theorists believed there was possibly a little bittern in the rocks as a solitary bird also, but it's in fact a kingfisher, which nests in riverbanks by the water's edge. It's also elusive, hard to find in the picture, as it is in life itself. It represents halcyon days, synonymous with calm and fine weather of ancient Greece, Arcadia as a golden age, you know, his utopian retreat. The kingfisher also represented saints, given it reputedly did not putrefy after death. In one version of the flood in European folklore, a grey kingfisher is sent out with a raven and dove in search of land and caught the orange-red rays of the sun on its breast and the azure of the sky on its back, thus receiving the light as per St. Francis. Also, halcyon is a mythical bird said by ancient writers to breed in a nest floating at sea at the winter solstice, charming the wind and waves into calm. Halcyon is a genus of tree kingfishers. The fauna go back to the Canticle of the Sun, be praised, my Lord, through all your creatures. The animals linked to the saint's love of bestial forms. The focus is on biophilia and zoomorphic iconography. The donkey can be interpreted as a symbol of humility, patience, the Old Testament. It's also Francis's means of transport to the rural retreat. The hare is featured near to St. Francis, which symbolises rebirth and resurrection. It could equally resemble a rabbit, and both belong to the family the Leporidae, and is possibly a soft mountain hare. Both are synonymous with lust and fertility, which are here in retreat, as per St. Francis's chosen path of celibacy. They're notoriously shy and elusive animals, and hares typically live alone. The rabbit was a symbolic reference to Moses, who hid his face from the Lord. Furthermore, hares come out and congregate in droves around the spring equinox, dubbed the Druidic Dawn, which seems to work here. There is purportedly a lizard in the picture, and this symbolises the turning to the light as a lizard in old age crawls into a crack in the wall and faces east, turning to the light or sun. The technique, the surface of poplar, typical of the Southern Renaissance, across three panels was primed by hand in white gesso, mixture of gypsum and size or animal skin glue to provide a smooth surface. We then have the imprimatura, which is the primer layer that followed. Bellini then drafted a sketch of the composition in pen and ink on the gesso surface, and there is evidence of this underpainting too, called pentimenti, and in fact one or two layers called velature, which have been built up by the artist in some cases to evoke depth and or texture. There is variety in both the mark making and texture, from clouds as wisps of scumbled pigment to tiny daisies stippled in shallow relief. Fingerprints of the artist have been found embedded in the paint's surface, revealing evidence of an attempt to render a smooth surface or imperceptible brushwork. It shouldn't go unnoticed that Bellini has used tempera grassa as his medium, which is an egg oil paint mix favoured by Botticelli. A sort of parting shot, final thought, is that looking at the work with all this detail, iconography, symbolism, meaning, it is a form of worship in itself, and it takes great devotion, so it seems entirely apt for the subject